As we said, thousands of fans attended the memorial service or crowded outside the Staples Center. Millions around the world tuned in on television at their homes, their workplaces, and some communities even organized viewing events so that Jackson fans could mourn together. We want to talk about why Michael Jackson was such a significant cultural figure. We're going to talk about that with Wesley Morris. He's an entertainment writer for the Boston Globe. He's written about Jackson's meaning, particularly to the African-American community. Also joining us is Harriet Cole. She was the creative director at Ebony Magazine when they published an exclusive December 2007 cover story on Michael Jackson. Also with us is James Peterson. He's an assistant professor of English at Bucknell University who lectures extensively on popular culture. Welcome, all of you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to be here.
Hi.
Now, I wanted to ask, Wesley, I'll start with you on this. There was, as I mentioned with Karen, there was some sense that this was going to turn into a spectacle. There was some sense on the talk shows and the cable world. What was this service going to be like? What is your assessment of it as a cultural event?
I was honestly surprised that it had completely dominated all the network coverage. I mean, every news outlet, both on cable and on, you know, basic television had devoted an entire, you know, that entire block of coverage to the memorial. And I think in a lot of ways there's just maybe the sense of public pressure that it did mean something, that many people were going to watch and many people would try to attend. It wasn't a circus. I thought it was a respectful, kind of really enlightening event. I mean, some of it was strange. But I think that as we previously heard from Karen, that there were people who really left that memorial with a sense of a more complex Michael Jackson, both as a cultural figure and as a man.
Harriet Cole, let me hear from you, because in your other life, in addition to your work in magazine work, you also write a lot about etiquette and how one should behave at public events and private events. And so I wanted to ask, Harriet, what is your sense of this event and how it ties into our assessment of Michael Jackson as a cultural figure?
Well, I would say that, first of all, if you've been to a memorial just for an average person, you normally have the elements that were in this one. They were just produced at a much higher level. But you have the moving spiritual. You have some other person singing a special song. You have a minister preaching and talking about uplifting the life of the person. If possible, if someone's able, you have a family member speaking. So I actually think that this was very typical of a memorial, just as would be for Michael Jackson, much, much better produced. I think that the event was incredibly respectful. One of the things that I said yesterday that I'll repeat now is that it felt like a cleansing with Michael's love. You know, all of these elements, the music, the people who spoke, this space with 20,000 people fell silent for more than 15 minutes as they were waiting in the beginning for the event to start. When does that happen? You can't even get people in a classroom to be quiet for 5 minutes. There was a level of respect and reverence for this man, and I think that from the beginning to the end, what people witnessed, I was watching it on a television monitor, you know, wherever you were watching it, I think that what happened was the beauty, purity, and dynamism of Michael Jackson replaced the negative chatter that has been ongoing since about 2 minutes after he died. Mm-hmm. And that's what a memorial should do. It uplifted him. It shared with the world the creativity, genius, and family and love connection that he had. So I thought it was beautiful and appropriate.
James Peterson, we only have about a minute left. We're going to take a short break and then we'll come back to you. But just your thoughts briefly about the service and how that plays into Michael Jackson's legacy.
Sure, I would agree. It was cathartic, and I think that's why it garnered all the media attention that it did. The catharsis is based upon our need to see Michael Jackson's legacy without all of the trappings of the negative things that we've seen more recently over the last several years. So, but I would say that to say that it's a spectacle is kind of an obvious point. He was a singular figure in African American culture, American popular culture, in the history of music. So to say that his memorial service was a spectacle, of course it is. He's singular. There will be no one like him afterwards. And there was no one like him before.
We need to pause here and take a short break, and we're going to continue our conversation about Michael Jackson's memorial service and his legacy as an entertainment, as a cultural figure, with Boston Globe writer Wesley Morris, Bucknell University professor James Peterson, and Ebony Magazine's Harriet Cole in just a few minutes. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.
Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds.
We're leaving you now with one of the moments from the memorial service. We'll be doing that throughout the program. Here's Jermaine Jackson singing his brother's favorite song, Smile.
If you smile with your fear and sorrow, smile, it may be tomorrow. You'll find that life is still worthwhile. If you just light up your face with sadness, hide every trace of gladness all through the years.
I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, a closer look at the media's role in the Michael Jackson coverage. Was it just enough or just too much? And who says? Whose perspective matters on a question like that? That in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to continue our conversation about Michael Jackson, about the memorial service, and his musical and cultural legacy. And we're joined by Boston Globe entertainment writer Wesley Morris, Bucknell University professor of English and African American Studies James Peterson, and veteran magazine journalist Harriet Cole of Ebony Magazine. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
Great.
I'm going to go on with a clip from Hall of Fame, from NBA Hall of Famer Magic Johnson, who spoke at the memorial service yesterday. Here it is.
I want to thank Michael for opening up so many doors for African Americans to be on daytime shows, late night shows. He allowed Kobe and I to have our jerseys in people's homes across the world because he was already there.
Professor Peterson, what about that? Do you think that's true?
I mean, that's absolutely on point. I spoke with one of my colleagues yesterday who said that when Thriller came out, she went into school and she was like, and this is a white colleague, she said, you know, Michael Jackson was so hot. And one of her friends said, well, he can't be hot, he's black. And that moment for her was kind of that was her first, as a white person, her first sort of encounter with racism. And I told her that's ironic because actually Michael Jackson is responsible for breaking down a lot of those doors. It's interesting because we see his physical transformation, especially people of my generation, is something that's negative. Maybe he was aspiring to be more European looking, but like my daughter who's 8, she drew a picture of Michael Jackson and she drew him in all the stages. So for her, race is kind of already deconstructed, and younger people just see him as someone who transformed his artistic persona. So we need to think of it more, I think, in that kind of newer version of Michael Jackson, someone who transcended race and actually deliberately tried to do so. So yes, he broke down a lot of doors, and he did so in such a way that was trailblazing, meaning that there were people who would be able to enter into those spaces after him. So it's quite extraordinary when we think about it.
Wesley Morris, what about that? You wrote about Michael Jackson's kind of shape-shifting, if you will, his kind of racial, mm-hmm. his constant sort of constant manipulation of his appearance. How do you interpret that? What do you think it meant?
I agree with James. I think that in some ways he was someone who transcended race, but I also think he complicated it too. I think he made it something that we had to deal with both as Americans and as African Americans. And I think as African Americans, the thing that we have a hard time turning our backs on Michael Jackson with is that, you know, in a lot of ways his struggle to, you know, his mutation was an extreme version of the historical things that black people have always dealt with in terms of their duality as Americans and as African Americans. And I mean, you know, a lot of what Michael Jackson did was sort of native to his own psychology. But by extension, I mean, who's to say that we if that, with given access to similar, you know, options, wouldn't pursue the same thing. I mean, I wouldn't do that, but I think
many people
from a literary standpoint or from a cultural standpoint, I think that he sort of symbolizes a classic, almost 400-year-old struggle that African Americans have had in this country. That's
and
really, really
Harriet,
fascinating.
Harriet Folley, yeah. We only have a minute left, but I want to talk to you about one other thing. And when we spoke earlier this year, you talked about one of Michael Jackson's most important identities to himself, and that was of father. And I
yes.
want to play one more clip, from which I think many people will agree was probably the most emotionally difficult moment of the service, when his daughter mm-hmm. unexpectedly spoke, and this is what she had to say.
Ever since I was born, Daddy has been the best father you could ever imagine. And I just wanted to say I love him so much.
Harriet, it
makes you choke up every time.
It does. Mm-hmm. And finally, Harriet, you have the last word here. How do you think Michael Jackson will be remembered?
Well, it's funny. I talked to Ramon Bain, who was his previous manager. We're doing a special book and magazine about Michael. And what she said to me just the other day is people say that they're going to remember Michael for his catalog of music and his entertainment value. And she said the way that he tended to those children and loved them up is really going to be what he's remembered by, because they will become such great beings in the world. And what parent doesn't want to be remembered that way? I mean, that is the most incredible gift that a parent can receive in life or after. So that he was such a loving parent and had the opportunity to shepherd these children for as long as he did, we will see what a blessing it is for all of us.
Harriet Cole is creative director at Ebony Magazine. She joined us from Chicago. I was also pleased to be joined by Wesley Morris, film critic for the Boston Globe. He joined us from Boston. And James Peterson is an assistant professor of English and Africana Studies at Bucknell University. He joined us from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I thank you all so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.